which helps us to remember what that vision is. And the vision is to reach nations and generations. So that's what we are trying to do. That's why we plant churches. We're trying to reach nations. That's why we've got congregations in South Africa and Namibia and Malawi and the United Kingdom and the Netherlands. And the next place is, it's a guess because I don't know where all the congregations in Africa are looking to plant, but it's probably going to be Germany. So if you know friends in Germany or family or you speak German, then keep them in mind. That's what we do, but we need to know how we do it. So our vision statement is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making. That's the first one. So it's through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And it's on a screen over there. Thank you, Sophie. So thank you for two. That's... We reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. But the question I want to ask is this. How did Jesus say we are to make disciples? How did Jesus say we are to make disciples? Have a Bible if you can. I'm not going to project any scriptures on the screen because I'm going to write on the screen in a moment. So if you have a Bible, please, either on your phone or a paper copy, then please have a look. And there's a spare one at the back if anyone needs a Bible. I don't know if you remember the Simpsons episode where Homer knows he's got one day to live. Anyone recall that? He's got one day to live. So he makes a list of all the things he's got to do because he knows this is his last day on the earth. And Jesus had his last day on the earth. So when I was asked last night at bedtime, how old is Jesus? I said he doesn't have an age, which isn't a very good answer. And then the response was, that's weird. Which it is. I didn't give a very good answer, but I'll work on that one. Jesus is still existing. He has always existed, but he knew that his time on earth would come to an end. And he spoke to his disciples, and if your time on earth is coming to an end, if you know that you're not going to see Monday, you will make the best use of this Sunday. So Dong and Charlotte will probably not, Lindsay, go and get flowers today. If they knew, they would do something else. They might try and get to Devon and to Cambridgeshire. They would do something else. They probably wouldn't try to get to China because they might not get there in time. But Jesus knew he had one day left on this earth. And the last thing he said to his disciples, you'll find in Matthew 28, from verse 18. He says, all authority, Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So that's where we get our vision statement. It's from here. It's just that we've reworded it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What two things do we need to do? Jesus says there. Baptizing in whose name? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How many names is that? Look again. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name. How many names? One name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing we need to do is?
Teach.
Good. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'm glad Sophiso answered that one, because I'm going to do a bit of teaching now, but if you think about your theology, now maybe you didn't realize you had one, but you do. We all have one. It's just, what is it? It might come from me preaching, but it perhaps is more likely to come from what we sing. Because that's catchy, isn't it? I mean, I don't preach to a beat. I don't rap. so that you can remember what I'm saying. But what we were singing, those, I believe in God the Father, you'll remember that. And that's why, Sophie, so thank you for choosing that song. I didn't ask him to do it, because that will inform our theology. I believe in God the Father. So one way that we teach is by what we sing. It's not just singing. In fact, it's more than teaching. It's singing. We teach through it, but it's actually warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. Now, you know, that might sound a bit heavy on a Sunday morning, but it's not a war against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare, because that's what we believe life is, a battle in the spiritual. So that's our vision statement, to reach nations and generations by disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And we baptize in the one name, the brackets, one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the name of God. And I want to ask this question. Why does our understanding of God matter? Now, maybe just think about it yourself for 30 seconds, and then just speak with the person next to you. And if you think the answer is that it doesn't matter, you can give that as an answer. Just why does our understanding of God matter? And I've got a clue, but I'm not going to give you the clue just yet. Okay? Why does it matter what we understand, or who we understand God is? So just in pairs, I think you're an even number. The later you can go with whichever parent you choose. Why does it matter what we understand of our God? Okay, just for a few seconds. From September onwards, in the way that I've related to him for the last nearly 10 years, it's not going to work. Because if I say, Dong, come and hang out with me, or come and help me with this, he'll say, Dave, can I come tomorrow? Or can I come after I've met Charlotte from work and we've spent some time together? The same is true with Charlotte. If I try, or if Cynthia tries to relate to Charlotte afterwards, after September, in the same way that she's related to her for her three decades that she's lived so far, it won't work as well as if both of us, Cynthia and myself, realise that there's now this new being, Dong and Charlotte. But there is still a Charlotte, and there is still a Dong. So, for example, the things that Sally and I do, some of them we do together, some of them Sally does, and some of them I do. Now, Sally could come and preach and then teach medical students at St. George's. I could go to Smallwood as a governor and try and do what Sally does at home, which is more than what I do at home. We could swap those roles, but there's certain roles we couldn't swap. So if Sally tried to provide the seed for our natural children, that's not a role she could do. If I tried to bear our children, it's not a role I could do, because I've not been created or purposed to fulfill that role. And if you have a Bible, just look up just the first one if you can, or put the bookmark in. These scriptures, just to highlight, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The Trinity is all over the Bible, and these scriptures are just a few of those where the Trinity is very explicitly within Scripture. And what we're going to do, just to try and understand who it is that we're trying to relate to, because that's what it is. If our religion, Christianity, is a relationship with God, there's a bigger print Bible at the back. If our religion is a relationship with God, then we need to know the person who we're relating to. We need to know these three persons. One being, three persons. So, in Isaiah 61, and then what I want you to do, we'll do this together. Maybe, Don, we can get rid of that one for now. In these verses, what is it that the Father does? What is it that the Son does? And then what is it that the Spirit does? So, here's Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And then, if you want a clue as to who the me is, Jesus spoke these words in the New Testament. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So what does the Father do? Now, Father isn't mentioned in this verse. It's an Old Testament scripture, but where you see Lord in uppercase letters, for the purposes of today, just take that one to be the Father. So what is it that the Father does in Isaiah 61 and verse 1? Okay, who does he anoint? The Son, okay. And what is it that the Son does? Okay, preaches good news. And the Spirit? Now, it might sound passive. He's on who?
Jesus.
He's on who is the Son. So I'm going to say it like he rests on the Son. So he's just resting on the Son. Now, I say just. We went to one of our children's class assemblies on Friday. And I was just sitting in the audience, but I was resting on the child who was performing in the assembly, hoping that they would do what they've planned to do and what they've been prepared to do. So it might sound passive just to rest there, but it's an active resting. We'll come on to see. What I want you to do is maybe look at some patterns, because the only purpose in this is how do we relate? Okay, so we're going to go through this, but the question I want you to have in your mind is this. How do we relate to this God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How do we relate to him? So, you know, it comes into how we pray and it comes into how we worship. How do we relate to this God? Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So this is where Jesus comes to be baptized by his cousin, John. And in verse 16, we read, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Maybe this is the easiest one to start with. What does the Son do in Matthew 3:16? He gets baptized. Okay. Now, go back to 15 to see why does he get baptized. To fulfill all righteousness. Now, that's another sermon. And I still don't fully understand that. But I think one of the aspects of the fulfillment of righteousness is to show us, why did Jesus get baptized? I think one of the aspects of the fulfillment of righteousness why Jesus got baptized was to show us the Trinity. He didn't need to get baptized. We get baptized because we're saying we're following Jesus. He didn't need to do that. He is Jesus. We get baptized to say we're turning our back on our old way of life where we do what we want. He never did that. He didn't have an old way of life to turn back on. I think one of the reasons that Jesus was fulfilling righteousness was just the fact that in doing this, he could show us in one very visceral experience of going down into water, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, there's more to it than that, but for the purposes of today, that was part of the fulfillment. He's baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? To reveal the Trinity to us. That's what he was doing when he was baptized. It wasn't because he needed to. And the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3. Okay. Descended from? From heaven to earth. And rested on? On the Son. Okay, good. So, there's a pattern there for the Holy Spirit. He's resting on the Son. Now, there's, I think, five things that the Father does. So anyone give me any one of those? Good. He affirms the Son. We long for that, you know, don't we? Especially from a father, just to be affirmed. So the Father's in the house, affirm. It makes a world of difference. What's the first thing? Now, it's not explicit, but it's... What did the Father do to heaven?
Opened it.
Okay, so it's not mentioned, but that's the first thing he had to do. He had to open heaven. And then, who did he send from heaven?
Holy Spirit.
Okay, so he sends the Holy Spirit. So he opens heaven so that he can then send Holy Spirit. And what about the... He speaks, we've got, so he speaks about what?
His Son.
And what, but what about his Son?
Pleasing. Love.
Okay, so he speaks, so he loves the Son, and he speaks of his love for the Son, and then he affirms the Son by saying, I am pleased with you, I am well pleased with you. Okay, so he's quite active there. Okay, John chapter 14, so... Turn over. While you're turning over, just let me give another example. It may or may not help. If I was to get a bit of a longer beard and a bit of a bigger guitar with 12 strings and put a blonde wig on, what would you think? Dave Spellman. We all know Dave Spellman. Okay? We all know Dave Spellman, because once you've met Dave Spellman, you don't forget Dave Spellman, because Dave Spellman is full of life. Now, Charlotte knows Dave Spellman as Dad. And Mike and Cynthia know Dave Spellman as a sibling. Cynthia for longer, longer than Mike. And if Dong and Charlotte produce some Chens, then... Those people will know Dave Spellman as, I don't know what they're going to call him, Grumps. Is it Grumps? So now he's one person fulfilling three roles. Now that illustration goes some way, but it has a limitation. Because he's one, as full of life as he is, he's only one person. Now Cynthia knows him as a sibling. We'd like to kind of maybe hear a few stories about Dave when he was younger. You know, we know we go on holiday with Dave. Dave and Maddie came on our mission team to Malawi. Dave's been in the worship band. Dave's been to Little Gates. Maddie's taught. So I'm not. It's about Dave, not Maddie. So, but he's one person. He is one person. So that illustration might help, but don't forget that God is three persons. So, when the Father speaks of the Son in Scripture, the Father says, you. Because the Son is not the Father. Dave can't say, Dave the sibling cannot say you to Dave the parent, or Dave the grandparent, because Dave is one person. But I hope that gives us just something. So we're doing these roles to tell us something about how different the three persons of the Trinity are. But remember, they are three persons. It's not one person doing three roles. It's three distinct persons. So John 14, verse 16. Jesus is speaking. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And then into verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. So what does the Father do in John 14? Gives who?
Spirit.
Gives the Holy Spirit. And for a specific purpose? As a counselor, helper. Okay. Depending on which translation you've got. What does the son do in John 14, 16? Asks who? Asks his father. Okay. What do we call that? Intercession. Okay. That's intercession. So when intercession is one form of prayer. It's one form of prayer when you ask, you intercede, please, will you do this? Now, I don't know what kind of family they are. Are they a polite family? Do you have to say your P's and your Q's? I don't know. I mean, if I was in that family, I'd like it, because I'm very keen that the children say their pleases and their thank yous. But so I don't know whether the son said to the father, please, but whatever their family culture is, the son asks the father to send the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He helps who? Okay. He helps us, okay, by being with us for how long? Okay. So if you look at the Spirit, okay, he's resting on the Son, but now, as we go further through Scripture, he's not just resting on the Son. Jesus says he is going to come and rest on you. He's going to come and be with you. So that's all in the lifetime of Jesus being on earth. And then Jesus died and rose again and went to heaven. He had to go to heaven before Holy Spirit could come to earth. Why that is, I don't know. The way I think of it, it's a bit simplistic, is that there has to be a majority in heaven. So at times there was three persons in heaven. And then the Son came, and when the Son came to earth, Holy Spirit and the Father were in heaven. There's always a majority in heaven. And then when the Son went back, there were three up there and none on here, down here on earth. And now the Spirit, you will let's see, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Don't forget, why are we doing this? We're doing this because I want us all to think, how do we relate to God? Christianity is a relationship. It is a relationship. That's why we can sing about someone we can't see and have more passion than the Lions supporters in New Zealand yesterday. They can see, even though it's a long way away, they can actually see that the Lions team are fulfilling their role at least as well as they could yesterday. Okay. Now, I was explaining to one of the children yesterday about this team called the Lions. The Lions, they come together as one, and they're quite united. I'm not interested in rugby union because I'm interested in rugby league. But the Lions interest me because I think they're these four nations coming together. That's not the Trinity. That's not being one. That's a coalition, a time-limited coalition. Because come next year, or even later this year, they'll be fighting each other, not fighting for one another. Okay, the Trinity is always one. Always one. And Don and Charlotte will not have the perfect marriage, but none of us have the perfect marriage. It's an example that works, but it falls down because there is no perfect marriage. This relationship between the Trinity is absolutely perfect. They never misunderstand one another. They never jostle each other for the limelight or for position. It's an amazing, perfect relationship. And Jesus is now in heaven, so he's able, therefore, to send the Son. And let's read Acts 2, verse 33. Peter's speaking, and he's preaching a sermon, and he says, exalted, he's speaking about the Christ, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. What does the Father do? Okay, good. He exalts the Son, that's the first thing. And then, here's your clue, Look, he gives who? He gives who to whom?
Spirit.
To the Son. Okay, so he gives the Holy Spirit to the Son. That's what the Father does. And what does the Son do? Okay, pours Holy Spirit out on earth. Now, Holy Spirit is a person. That's why I tried to get my head around this a long time ago, and the way I, with some success, have do it is this. I don't say it when I refer to Holy Spirit, or I don't say the Holy Spirit. Because for me, I mean, I can talk about the Queen because I don't know her. I've met her, but I don't know her. If I knew her, then I could call her Lizzie, perhaps, if I knew her very well. So this Holy Spirit is a person. So that's how I've did it. How I've done it for myself. But do it however it works for you. But he's a person, as much as the Son is a person, as much as the Father is a person. He is a person. So therefore, we need to relate to him. Do we worship Holy Spirit? Yes, because he's God. We worship him because he is God, as much as the Father is God, and as much as the Son is God. If we knew our creeds well, I mean, the words we were singing earlier, and Sophie, was a heads up, if you've still got a bit of voice, we might come back to that song at the end. Because what I want us to do with this understanding is then just worship. Just because we're now having, hopefully, a greater understanding of the persons that we're worshipping. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Because that's why it's important. That's why our theology matters. We need to know how to relate to Dong and Charlotte post their wedding. We need to know, Dave, we need to know in what capacity we relate to him. Whether it's as sibling or as son or son-in-law or daughter or as grandparent, if he were our grandparent. And the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:33, it's again not explicit, but Jesus says he has poured out, Peter says that Jesus has poured out the Holy Spirit, and he says has poured out what you now see and hear. So if there's seeing and hearing, then Holy Spirit must be
speaking
and doing. Good. So now look, Holy Spirit is becoming a bit more active now, okay? He rested on the Son. And in the Old Testament, he rested on specific people at specific times. But then from here, Jesus says, he is going to come and help you forever. And this is the start of that. Pentecost was the start of that. And Holy Spirit is still active now. Jesus has done his work. Now he's still doing this one. Because he's exalted at the right hand of the Father. But the majority of his work is done. He's done his work on the cross, and he can now say to his Father, sitting at his right hand, I mean, what does it mean? It means he's got the ear of the Father. Let me ask this question. Does God hear every prayer? But does he hear them in the same way? He does hear. I believe God hears every prayer. I mean, although he can obviously close his ears to anything he wants to because he's God. But I believe he hears prayer. As a general rule, God hears prayer. But if we pray in the name of Jesus, then he hears that prayer differently. So I don't know if this example helps, but I heard a story of someone who had a lot of children, probably even more than the five, one of five that Ed is. And they went to the theme park and they had tickets, so they would just buy a whole reel of tickets. And one of their children had brought along someone they'd just met on the theme park and said, oh, don't worry, my dad will pay for you, because he knew that his dad has got a whole reel of tickets. So his dad's counting them in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children, and the seventh has an eighth. Now, the dad might not like the look of this eighth, but for the sake of the seventh, who says, Dad, I met this friend, and I told him that you would let him come, the dad will say yes. Now, the point is this. God likes the look of each of us because he's made each one of us. But for Jesus' sake, God hears our prayers differently. That's why we need to understand the Trinity. That's why we need to understand, and this verse in Ephesians hopefully will help us, and then we'll just get practical as we end. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. It's probably the most, well, I mean, if you can remember all these or maybe add to them, go away and just look through Scripture. When you read Scripture, just think, when it refers to God, which person is this referring to? Which person is this referring to? And Ephesians 2 verse 18 says this, "For through him," the him being Jesus Christ. Okay. You see it in verse 13, Christ Jesus, and then also verse 13 says Christ. It says, "For through him," Jesus, "we both." Now that both, anyone know who the both is? Jews and Gentiles. Now our theme as a church this year is being one. It means whether we're Dutch or English, whether we're South African or Malawian, we are one church. Now, if Jesus, as the head, can make Jews and Gentiles one, and there was animosity, if you see through Scripture, then he can do it with us. That's why we're focusing on this now. Being one, Jesus wants us to be one in the same way that he is one with the Father and the Son. We need to understand how they're one so that we can be one in that way. And this is what Paul writes. "For through Jesus, we both," Jews and Gentiles, in other words, everyone, "we have access through," "for through him," "through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Now, this one is a bit, what's the difference between through and by? We all had a journey here this morning. Okay. Now, I don't know if this helps. It helped me. Hopefully it might help some of you. We are all here together now. So the children are downstairs with Jackie, learning about the power of Christ. But even, you know, the majority of our time we were together. But we came. Did anyone come by boat? Okay. Now, some of us came from Essex, and some of us came from different places, but we came from those different places to this one place. Now, I came to this place. Now, I don't know, imagine I came. If I'd have come by road, or let me say this, I knew no one was going to come by boat, but I asked that question because I think it's perhaps the most helpful in terms of this illustration. Our destination is relationship with God as Father. That's where we're going to. That's where we're headed. We could have come through the sea by a boat. No, none of us did. But no one cycled, I don't think. Don't used to cycle in the old days. Imagine, so we're going to one place, but we go through the seas. So when we went to Utrecht, we went through the channel on a boat, by a boat, in a boat. Now, if that helps you, think of it that way. Okay, we go to God, the Father, through Jesus, the Son, on, in, or by Holy Spirit. Now, I understand that, you know, it's not a perfect illustration, but if there are three persons, rather, since there are three persons in the Trinity, we need to know how to relate to each one of them. And this verse is a very explicit verse. Through Jesus, now, okay, let's complete our table. What does the Father do? What does he give? He's all, look, giving. He gives, yes, but what's he giving of, this is giving of himself now. He's giving, what do we have? Maybe I would say this, he gives access to himself. Now, maybe he's anointed the Son, he sent the Holy Spirit, he's affirmed the Son, He's given the Holy Spirit. He exalted the Son. He gives the Holy Spirit to the Son so that the Son can give him to us. He gives access to himself. Now, maybe that's my take on it. And there's other takes as well, and I accept that. But he gives access. Because what does he do? He wants to receive. He wants to reveal himself and he wants to reveal himself and receive people. So, my grammar's not good enough to know what kind of word this word is, but what's the word? Through. I don't know what that's called, but anyway, so it's through and then by. Now, through whom?
Through Jesus.
Now, I read a few commentaries on this, so I wouldn't expect you to get it just from the verse, okay? But it's through the person of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, and the mediation of Jesus. And another word for mediation is intercession, okay? Now, his person is who he is. His sacrifice is what he did, and his mediation is what he does. Okay? So through Jesus in himself, just by being himself, gives us access to God. Jesus, by what he did on the cross, we were singing about this, we believe in the resurrection. If we believe in the resurrection, we have to believe in the cross. So that's why theology is important. What we believe will determine what we do. Jesus through his person, Jesus through what he did, and Jesus through what he does now gives us access. He is the one through whom we have access. But Paul writes here, and I think it's for a reason. I don't think he's just trying to make the point of the Trinity in another verse. Because he didn't have that word. That word came a lot later. He then says the final three words, by one Spirit. Now, I don't know what you would understand by, but the boat, when we went to Utrecht, there's a barrier. The channel blocks us from Utrecht. Otherwise, we might go there more often, but you have to either fly or go by boat. So we need a vehicle. Now, he's a person, so don't think of him as any less because he's a person. But by, in other words, he gives us the will and the ability. Okay. So Christ is through whom we come to God as Father. Because we can't come to God as Father unless it's through Christ, because he's the what? The Son. And what Son is he compared to me? The firstborn. He's the firstborn Son. In other words, he's the archetypal Son. He's the Son whom we all follow. He's the one we're disciples of, because if it's not for him being Son, we can't come to God as Father. Through who he is, through what he did, and through what he does now, we go through Jesus. And because he is Son, we can approach God as Father. But we need Holy Spirit to help us. We need Holy Spirit to help us. I remember I was brought up in a church that didn't teach Holy Spirit and even went so far as to deny his role on the earth now. And so for me, it was a long time. I got baptized. I got saved when I was 6. My parents were saved. They were active in Christian work. I came into a relationship with God individually, not through my parents, but directly when I was 6. But I didn't get baptized till I was, I think, 15, nearly a decade later. Why? Because of the culture of the church. I can understand to some extent, you know, you don't want to baptize someone too young, but it's not that we practice adult baptism, we practice believer's baptism. If someone believes, they can be baptized. That's the qualification for baptism. But it wasn't until another 10 years after that I was Holy Spirit baptized, because of I had to figure this out for myself, well, with Scripture. Holy Spirit reveals Scripture to us. And as I read Scripture and saw the kinds of things that people did when Holy Spirit was in them and working through them, I said, I want to be able to do those kinds of things. Now, for me, it was something quite specific. I got to a I know a few other languages, not very well. My French got to a kind of peaked and then has come back down, got to a point where I could share my faith in French. But it was a very short peak. I think it was while I was living there on an exchange and I got, you know, my the French person I was staying with would speak English so that they would learn English and I would speak French so that I could learn French, and I got to a point where I could. But I realised I peaked and I've troughed now, and I can't really, we're meeting people from different countries, I can't really share my faith with them. I need Holy Spirit to help me do this. And if you think about what he does, that's what he did at Pentecost and that's what he still does. He brings people together and he brings people to God. So he's like this boat that goes, and it's big enough for everyone, and anyone who wants to come on it can come on it, and then he takes that boat through Jesus, through the seas, to God the Father. That's all I have in terms of teaching, and there's quite a lot. But it's important. It's important because we need to understand who this God is. We need to understand that he's three persons, because now when we're going to sing this song, hopefully we might sing it just a little bit differently. Yes, we all understood God was Trinity, but hopefully we'll perhaps understand when we sing or read about God, which person of the Godhead are we speaking of? Or which person of the Godhead are we praising? If we serve God, if somebody serves Sally, they serve me, because we serve each other. So if somebody praises Sally, then I can also receive some of that, but it's different. They're going to give a different praise to Sally to the praise that they're going to give to me. It's different in a way that service isn't different. So we serve God because when we serve one of them, we serve all of them, all three of them, because they're one. But when we praise and when we worship and when we pray, I think it's important that we focus which one of these persons are we praising, which one of these persons are we worshipping. Look, God is a God who reveals. And then just Sophie, so if while you come to the front, I just want to say this. If I don't know all of us, I don't know whether we've been brought up in church and know a lot about church, but if this God whose desire is to reveal himself and whose desire is to receive us, if this God is somehow distant to you, then take this opportunity now just to get closer. Because that's the kind of God he is. He's a God who initiates, and he's a God who says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Now, understanding is important, but it's not everything. Understanding is important in so much as it determines what we do. So this table is important only in as much as it determines how we relate to God. God is Father, and God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. Why does God do it this way? This is the last question. Why does God work indirectly? You know, why could God not have just, God the Father not just have, you know, sent Holy Spirit and Jesus didn't need to come to earth? I mean, lots of reasons, okay? Sin is a big reason. But another reason is this: God likes to work indirectly. So we believe that Holy Spirit can give me a word of knowledge that is for somebody else in this room, or can give anyone in the room a word of knowledge that is for somebody else. He could tell the person directly, but he's the kind of God who likes to work indirectly because he's relational. Therefore, we need one another. Why is Scripture so hard to understand? I think one of the reasons is so that we need one another to interpret it. But more than anything, Holy Spirit will interpret this book if we listen to him as we read it. We're just going to sing, and then we're going to close, and there'll be opportunity for prayer in this room and refreshments in the next. I need to get rid of these words.
It's okay. Let's stand together. Our Father everlasting. Our Father everlasting. The all-creating one. All-creating one. God Almighty. God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit. Through your Holy Spirit. Conceiving Christ, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, the will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender. Our judge and our defender. Whom crucified. Forgiveness is in you. This is in you. Descended into darkness, descended into darkness. You rose in glorious life. Forever seated high, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. The river is again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe you rose again. I believe. And I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in God. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. The will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. That we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Lord God, we believe in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you for sending the Son. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you fulfilled all righteousness, that you came to earth and you did that which you were commissioned to do. Thank you that you put your own will beneath and below the will of your Father. And Holy Spirit, we praise you, we worship you, that you have poured out yourself on this earth, that you take us from different nations and different generations, and that you are the means by which we can become related to God. We can call the God of the whole universe our Father. I just want to pause. If you can't, if you don't have a relationship with God where he is your Father, and you would like that, not saying that you're committing yourself to it, but if you would like to explore that, then just perhaps raise your hand and one of us will make sure we pray with you after the service. And then just for each one of us, if there's a person of the Trinity, could be the Father or the Son or the Spirit, that we want to relate to specifically or differently or in a new way, then you can just raise your hand and then drop it immediately. God, I thank you that you know us. I thank you that you know yourself, that there's no fighting or jostling between you. So, Father, Son, Spirit, we give you all glory and we worship all three of you as one God. God, we declare your unity. We declare that you are one. And we declare that you are making us one. Thank you that as we prepare for Hercules and Milani, Anamar and Lana and Zoe to come next week, I thank you that they will very quickly be one with this congregation. And across our whole region, specifically for Weybridge and for Utrecht, God, I thank you that you're making us one. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are part of the body of Christ. Thank you that we are one with other churches, wherever those churches submit to the headship of our Lord Jesus. And we declare that that is our intention and that is what we will do. God, thank you that because you are one, we can be one. And we celebrate your unity. We worship you in your unity as three persons and one God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again to the band. If you have a need for prayer, then please come. We've got oil with which we can anoint for healing. There's refreshments served in the back room. And if you just want to stay and spend some time speaking to all three or one or two of the members of the Trinity, then do that now before you go back to the bustle of the week. As I mentioned, Hercules Milani arrive next weekend. And just as a heads up, I meant to play a video, but we'll probably play it next week or through small groups. We're going to go to the Wimbledon tennis together with other churches in Wimbledon. It's what we just show the people who come from all over the world that the church in Wimbledon is one church and is here to welcome them and just pray with any people who would like prayer as they camp overnight queuing for the next day's tennis. We're going to go not this Wednesday, but on the 5th and the 12th. So small group, the first two small groups in July, that's what we'll be doing. God bless your week. And if you have a need for prayer, please do come to the front so that someone can pray for you.